The substance and sustenance that we call food is derived from various sources. First, sustenance from the plants of the earth which God had originally ordained. Secondly, from the flesh of lower beings, animals, based on covenants made by God, which meant that meat from lower life forms was now an appropriate form of sustenance. Over the years, especially during the late 20th century and early 21st century, advances in science have led to the development of synthetic foodstuffs made from chemicals, and discoveries in genetic engineering has led to the formulation of genetically modified organisms for sustenance, and even the experimentation on naturally growing organisms such as fruits and vegetables to produce some fascinating hybrids like apples that taste like bananas, just to cite an example. The problematic and concerning thing is that we do not know the nutritional value of these changes or unforeseen side effects on the environment or on human beings. During the mid-1970s, there was this science fiction movie called Soylent Green. In the movie, it was revealed that Soylent Green was the main source of nourishment on a planet that was desperately overcrowded, polluted, and all the green spaces disappeared decades ago. There was no green growth anywhere. Thus, no fruits or vegetables. In the movie, it was revealed that the Soylent Green that sustained the population was the recycled people. The chilling refrain of the movie was Soylent Green is the people. Those in charge were responsible for turning the human race into a species of cannibals, because of the ruin they brought upon the earth. Now, the haunting part about the analogy of Soylent Green and what is happening to our food supply is that farmland is being rapidly monopolized by giant agribusiness concerns like Monsanto. Small or family-operated farms are going extinct due to political and economic pressures being exerted by market forces that add a sense of dire distress to farmers that wish to hold onto their lands and remain cultivators of the earth. The other imperative in operation here is war. In war, one of the primary objectives is to overwhelm your enemy into submission and surrender. One of the methods used to achieve this is the decimation of your adversary's food supply. You can use a blockade to keep certain items from getting into your enemy, and also keep things from getting out, such as goods to potential trade partners. There is also the policy of scorched earth. This is where you identify your opponent's most arable and productive land and proceed to burn all crops and vegetation on the land, and you put salt in the earth so nothing can grow. It sometimes takes decades to repair the damage done to land in this fashion. This is what the Union General Tecumseh Sherman did in conquering the South during the war between the states. His tactics were so harsh and punitive, his name is still reviled in Dixie to this day. The current war in Ukraine with the invading Russian forces illustrates this point clearly. With all of the land fighting and missile attacks, the usual flow of distribution of goods is broken, and the allocation of services, supplies, and equipment is compromised to the point where even if adequate amounts of product is available, it can't be transported. This is particularly critical in the Ukraine, as it is one of the largest producers of wheat in the world. Projections are already being made for massive food shortages and actual starvation in areas of the planet that are dependent upon Ukrainian wheat stuffs. Because of the nature of the global economy, the results of blocking such needed commodities to where they are critically needed would be catastrophic. To underscore the previous paragraph, over the last 2 years there have been more than 100 incidents of fires or influenza outbreaks involving poultry, in which millions of chickens, turkeys and ducks have been destroyed at food distribution plants and centers throughout the USA. The timing of this tragic happenstance is most unfortunate and strategic because of the disruption of America's supply chain of goods and services due to the aftereffects of the COVID-19 pandemic. The strain upon the economy has been severe, creating artificial shortages in oil, food, consumer goods, and emergency items. For those of you who peruse the genre of horror, a similar scenario unfolded in the movie The Omen 2, where in a move to control food production, the manager of Thorn Industries, Paul Boer, suggests to Damien's son of the devil, Uncle Richard Thorne, that the company should expand into agriculture and start buying up farmland around the globe to grow their GMO-based crops to the people. Damien's uncle found this concept unethical. Damien's uncle is killed at the end of the movie. In a previous post, we speak of a billionaire who is now the largest owner of farmland in the United States. He is a globalist, major stockholder of Monsanto, one of the largest manufacturers of GMO-based seeds in the world, and a eugenicist and philanthropist whose foundation is a major advocate of mass vaccinations around the globe. If you don't know who this person is, please read or listen to our previous blog posts located within this link for clues. This is the actual human cost of using food as a weapon. All those pictures you used to see on television of starving babies and children with bloated bellies is the handiwork of war policies used in the areas where those children live, depriving them and the other citizens of those lands the necessary nutrients to grow strong and prosper. If my readers have ever read their Bibles, if they own one, or heard reference to the four horsemen of the apocalypse, their names were war, famine, pestilence, and death. In August of this year, 2022, Amish farmer Amos Miller owned and operated Miller's Organic Farm, an all-natural Amish farm located in Burden Hand, Pennsylvania. Like many Amish farmers, Miller likes to do things the old-fashioned way. He doesn't use electricity, fertilizer, or gasoline, and he also stays away from modern preservatives. Miller's farm has a private club of over 4,000 members who purchase his food items such as organic eggs, raw milk, grass-fed beef and cheese, and fresh produce. In March, a federal judge ordered Miller to cease and desist all meat sales and authorized armed U.S. marshals to use reasonable force to gain access to Miller's farm so a court expert could inspect it. The reason on the surface for the raid is because Miller doesn't comply with all USDA regulations in terms of how he chooses to grow and preserve his foods, stemming from two people who became sick in 2014 from listeriosis from drinking raw milk from his farm. One of them unfortunately died. In light of the current times and state of this country, it is more likely that his farm is being targeted due to the fact Mr. Miller operates as an independent food distributor and producer who doesn't rely on the typical food distribution networks, which have been disrupted as previously mentioned due to the fires and influenza outbreaks. This raid serves as a message and warning to others who look to navigate outside the lines of the USDA regulation, who serve the of wishes elites and food and drug corporations who have declared war on the US population. War produces the conditions that causes famine, starvation from lack of access to food. In turn, famine leads to pestilence or disease, because without the nourishment you get from good food, you get weak and illnesses start to creep in, devastating communities, leaving members in painful disarray and weakness. Finally comes death, which comes to alleviate your pain and end your life. However, death can also come in the initial onslaught of war with a bullet in the brain, or your body blown to bits by machine gun fire, or perhaps a landmine or IED, improvised explosive device. That is the quick, convenient death, whereas the others are more excruciating, forcing you to slowly, painfully go through the other stages of starvation, disease, and finally death. Weaponizing food is a dishonorable, unsavory, and unethical practice, but it has become standard practice for many military campaigns as a tried and true tactic to undermine the morale and will of an enemy combatant and an under siege population. Food scarcity in the globe has never been a matter of enough arable land to grow an appropriate amount of food to feed a population, but the use of external agents, war, famine, politics, greed, to hoard or misdirect the supply of food away from those who need it, this creating food insecurity, starvation, and food shortages. In addition to the creation of artificial food shortages, you create a climate of terror and instability that is almost impossible to restrain and manage. The other problem in this scenario is viewing food as a financial commodity, instead of a practical human necessity. This view allows those toying with the market forces to raise prices to obscene levels, furthering global instability in areas that are not yet experiencing war or food upheavals, but are now affected adversely by these kinds of forces. This is one of the primary reasons for the unsung assault on black farmers in this country. Independent black family farmers are becoming an endangered species in the continental United States. The U.S. Department of Agriculture has conducted nothing less than a war of genocidal attrition against black farmers. They cannot receive the aid, loans, and other support that independent white farmers regularly receive. Let me be clear that they, white farmers, are also under attack by agribusiness concerns, but at least they get some help. Black farmers don't receive any assistance. The aim has historically been the same: to destroy and impoverish black farms, and by extension viable, successful black business wherever it exists. This has been the modus operandi of the federal and state governments of the USA since the post-Reconstruction era. This policy of malign neglect has been deliberate and satanic in its attempt to destroy the ability of food production in the black community via black farmers. So as we can see, food scarcity and insecurity is a problem on a macro level that extends globally. However, on a micro level extending to African American farming interests as an example, it is catastrophic. Food scarcity and insecurity is one of the reasons the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense created their free breakfast and lunch programs from the period of 1967 to 1973, to ensure that thousands of children who would have gone to school hungry could go to school on a full stomach and learn. Not be cranky and disruptive because they were hungry, and hadn't had a meal in God knows when. This enabled children to go school, take in knowledge and information, without being subject to the gnawing pangs of hunger. It is worth noting that after the intense and extensive efforts of FBI and other alphabet agencies to destroy the BPPSD, Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, and other intrinsic black organizations through COINTELPRO and other pogroms, the federal government appropriated the Panthers' successful people's programs of free breakfast and lunch, early preschool education, and rebranded them under names such as Head Start and federally funded school lunch and breakfast programs without ever acknowledging the origins of these practical and beneficial projects, came from the organizations that they worked so hard to eradicate. Groups such as the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, where they stole the bulk of their ideas from. This is why food insecurity is a critical issue not just on a global scale, but on a personal community level localized to black communities across the country. African heritage people are consistently in the scope of this devilish starvation strategy, so like it or not, it puts us in the vanguard of combating this insidious threat to our survival.